A very warm welcome to our Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Today, I speak of six wonderful years as a student. I have to turn you back in history to almost 60 years ago. Today, almost everybody goes to university. The time I'm speaking about is 1940s to 1950s, when Singapore had no university, and that's the difference. University life can change a person. Some Christians go in full of faith, and when they're finished, they come out with full of degrees but no faith. It can be a traumatic experience, can be a great loss to their Christian life. What is the remedy? In my sharing, I have referred to the story of Daniel, and I'd like to just briefly take you through the story of Daniel, for therein is the secret to the successful life. Please turn again to Daniel chapter 1. Here is the account of how Daniel and his friends went through a course of training and instruction, probably at a post-tertiary level. For these young men had been handpicked. Verse 4 says, "They were children in whom was no blemish, well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding in science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace." Right, that is the qualification. These were not children as such. You read there, you say, children, kindergarten, primaries. No. These were young men. The word children must be read in the context of young men, probably in the 20s, at least late teens. And they were skillful in all wisdom. Please understand, we are talking of a country called Babylon. Time frame is about 600 BC. The most powerful nation on earth at that time. One of the greatest empires under one of the greatest and most terrible kings called Nebuchadnezzar. And he chose these captive people who had been conquered, taken away into captivity and exile. And out of them he chose hand-picked young men in order to train them to be courtiers, to be ministers, to be advisors, to be some very important people, to be in the king's palace. So these are the people, no blemish, well-favored, verse 4, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and had ability to stand in the king's palace, meaning to say they were good personalities with a lot of self-confidence and public relations ability. They were chosen. What for? In order that the Babylonians could teach them, firstly, their culture, and then their language, and certain knowledge they had to know, so that they could be in the king's palace to minister and to advise the king, and to know their language, so that they could, the word to use here is assimilate. Assimilate means you merge with the locals, become one of them. And the next thing they did was they changed their names. They gave them local names. We all understand this. This happens in Indonesia, in Thailand. All our Chinese folks who go there very soon change their names to some Thai name like Mr. Thaksin or some other name like Indonesians, Wijaya and so on, so that they are assimilated. This was the purpose of these Jews being chosen to be assimilated. Now, here comes the catch. Verse 5. The Greek king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, meaning the food, and of the wine that he drank, so nourishing them 3 years at the end of the time, that they may stand before the king for the great examination. We call this today viva examination, by voice, interview, and then to test them, see how good they were. Amazing. These are captives, exiles. You can call them slaves if you like. You can make them slaves. But here the king offers them a scholarship. You come, join my group. There will be others, Babylonian young men. You be part of them. And you go through the course of instruction. But you got to follow our local customs. Eat the food, drink the wine, follow the customs and traditions, and slowly become Babylonians. How about that? Dear friends, when our Christian young people go to university, are we concerned? Is there some kind of protection that we give to them? We hope so. Sunday school, youth fellowship, other instructions. Hopefully that when they go through 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, their faith is sustained and they can come out still trusting the Lord, still serving the Lord as when they first went in. Is that possible? Verse 8, Daniel had thought through this problem. Will he come out still a believer? Verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart. This is very important. This is the key to the whole evening's message. Purpose in the heart. Dear friends, do you all have a purpose in your heart? Whether student or not, we all must understand we need to have a purpose in the heart. If the Lord we serve and we profess to honor is worth anything, He's worth everything. If you say you follow Him, it must not be an outward following. No pretense. No show acting. You follow Him, you love Him. The Lord says, God seeks such as will follow Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth to worship Him. This is what God wants. You come to church morning and evening. Are you really following the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you have known Him, you've known His salvation grace, and you know that all my goodness cannot exceed the Lord Jesus, I follow Him. The young Jews were taken away from their homeland, but they had not lost their faith, their heritage. How about us? I speak of our young people who go overseas. You know, today, everybody goes overseas to study. In my day, and I'll show this to you next week, it was an extremely rare event. Most uncommon. Today, everybody goes. Now, how do you ensure that your son or daughter who goes to New York London, in 4 years' time, 5 years' time, returns still loving the Lord. Now, this is the problem. This is our concern. There are so many, after 1 year, the glamour, the prestige, the kind of worldly attraction overwhelms them. And slowly they cool off. Before long, they stop going to church. Before long, like Dr. John Sung, 6 years, he gained every honor. And then he went to Union Theological Seminary. And there his faith was almost shipwrecked. Then he began to study Oriental religions, began to meditate, Oriental meditation methods, until his faith nearly finished. And at one stage, he almost thought of ending his life. What's the use of living? Now I don't think Jesus is really God because of all the things that have come into his mind. So these are the dangers. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. Dear friends, I say whoever you are, even though you are not going through any course of education or instruction, every child of God must purpose in his heart. Dear friends, whoever you are, whatever your church you come from, purpose in your heart that I will follow the Lord heart and soul, mind and strength, all my days. For he is the only one I should serve, the only one who died for me, the only one who loves me, the only one who leads me, the only one who is now in heaven preparing a place for me, coming back for me, and he is the only Savior, my Savior. Can we all have that conviction and purpose in the heart? So this was the thing that kept Daniel and his friends. For had they not taken that stand, if they had not purpose in their heart to stand for the Lord, do you think they will be able to go through the fiery furnace shortly in the next chapter? Yes. If you do not purpose in your heart, when it comes to the test, you either bow down or go to the furnace. What do you do? When you have purpose in your heart, you say, come what may. Fiery furnace, we are prepared. Why? Because our God is able to save us from the fire. Today we live in a very peaceful environment, Singapore. This may not always be so. In fact, I don't think it will always be so. Things will not always be so peaceful and so placid and so prosperous as today. Are you ready to face that day when things change? And then you can say, I purpose in my heart, I am only a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, come what may. This is the attitude and the mindset of Daniel and his friends. We will not defile ourselves with a portion of the king's meat. We will not follow the customs of this place. We will not drink your wine. We will not eat your kind of food because we believe they are polluted. Thank God for that kind of conviction. I say, I pray that all of us here, following the Lord Jesus, will be ready when the time comes. But you have to, today, purpose in your heart that I will not follow the customs of the world. God honored their faith. Verse 9 says, God brought them into favor and tender love with their supervisor, the chief of eunuchs. But then comes the real test, and that's coming later. It comes in verse 17. As for these four children, again, please understand, these four young people, after 3 years, comes the test, the viva test, the oral face-to-face interview. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom And Daniel had understanding of all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days, the king, as he had said, he should bring them in. The prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 19. Wonderful. Read this. The king communed with them and among them all. Meaning to say, all the candidates, not four, possibly 20. I don't know. We don't know. But it's a guess. Surely the locals outnumber the foreigners. Right? Jews, four. Babylonians, don't know. A big number. And they came. And there was a grand examination. Verse 19. Among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, stood before the king, and in all matters, verse 20, all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm, 10 times. I do not know how they quantify the 10 times. Whether actually they outnumber them in correct answers by 10 times, we do not know. But you may be sure, Nebuchadnezzar is no fool. Yes, he is a very smart fellow. One who can go to Jerusalem and conquer all the Jews. Now he tests them and he says, well, you captives, you're 10 times better than my own people. My dear friends, I've been through some of history that you all have not, simply because of age. And I want to take you through some of these goings on that you get a better perspective of things. Today, we are going to have our fourth university, right? Those of you in education circles. Singapore is striving hard to become an educational hub for Southeast Asia and, if possible, for the whole of Asia and even for the world. Now, this is something that is, I would say, in the days gone by, undreamt of, unthinkable. Today, educate for survival. Diversify. Thank God for our leaders that they think and they project and they conceive of these wonderful ideas. But some history today is very important that we consider. In history, most of you can only read in the books, but we heard it on radio with great risk. Hiroshima. One bomb, a kind of peace offering of 100,000 lives went up in the mushroom fireball. All have seen the mushroom shape of a fireball. Soon the British returned. Please understand, today we sing Majula Singapura. When the British returned, we all sing God Save the Queen. That's a very different outlook. In those days, every important post, every important event is British. The head of the school, the head of the hospital, the head of every department is Ang Mo. Today, no more. There is a difference. But we lived through those days. Some of you have lived through those days. 1947 is the year I began my medical education. We did not have a university. The arts and science people had Raffles College. We had King Edward VII College of Medicine. In 1950, then we came of age in the sense the two colleges combined became University of Malaya. Then, stirrings of self-rule, independence came, and we found the PAP arise. Today, we look back. That is wrong, I'm sorry. That is 1965. Then we have Madula, Singapura as an independent nation. This was King Edward VII College of Medicine. If you are sharp, you may see me at the extreme top left corner. That's me. And if you are sharper, you can see my wife at the extreme bottom right. I don't know. We never arranged it. In fact, I didn't know her at that time. But the rest are just faces, but you'll be interested to see how we look like 50 years later. Exactly 50 years. This was our 50th anniversary, and this character is well known. He's a rather quarrelsome person, but he's done a lot of good. Yes, he is a man who is not afraid of any nation, and to him goes a lot of credit. In those days, we never knew he had political inclinations. Now, university is a place where you go for learning. Every day you attend lectures. Here we are, smiling, of course, all absorbing. But the day will come when a judgment day will come. And here you see them no more smiling. How much has gone in? How much can you reproduce? How do you reproduce? How do you do it that you score marks? Is one of the things I hope to impart to you. Unfortunately, I had targeted the students, and there's so few students here. At least not enough. And if you do well in those circumstances here, if you do well here, then you can graduate to this. And hopefully, they will allow you to wear that gown and to wear that cap on that day. And to receive a piece of paper to say that you have been awarded to become a bachelor. So here it is. That is part of the education process. Dear friends, when I went to university, I resolved. Purpose in the heart is what is important. That there is a separation, and one must not go with the crowd. The saying is, in Rome, do as the Romans do. I say, dear friends, that is all right for ordinary things. Language, that's all right. Customs, as long as they do not violate our faith, do as the Romans do. But when a Christian goes into university, there must be a separation. And this is biblical separation in life. Not in ecclesiastical matters, in church matters, in preaching, in worship, there is separation. But the separation goes into the real life. What do you do after lectures? You go with the crowd to all those places that they go to. Do the things they do. Habits they all adhere to. These are things that are real. How can one be protected against those things for 6 years? I say not only protected, but God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. My wife and I, in those days we were friends, but with other Christians, we went looking for fellowship of Christians. We did.
There was one called Student Christian Movement. We went there to participate, and to our great surprise, the agenda was discussing the latest books, the latest films, the latest show in town. That's it. Student Christian Movement. So, the Lord laid on our heart. At that time, my brother was in America at Faith Seminary. And there began a correspondence. How can we have a student witness at tertiary level? So we began to meet. And out of that meeting came the VCF. Those of you who have been to university today will understand what is VCF. Varsity Christian Fellowship. In those days, we formed it in order that there could be a place of Christian fellowship where we discuss the Bible and not the theater. We talk about salvation and not social things. And so we did. We separated from the Student Christian Movement to form a VCF. And there we had evangelicals, fundamentalists come and take us. When was this? 1948. 49, 50, 51. The arts and sciences people heard about it, they came. Together, medical, arts and science combined, we were registered officially as student Varsity Christian Fellowship, VCF. That was the initial. But you know, dear friends, we live in an age today where there is a great falling away. And after we graduated, having left the university, the VCF went into other hands of leadership. Today it is ecumenical, charismatic, and well on the way to apostasy. These are the things. At the same time came the news that the ICCC was coming to Singapore. Now, I was a student. What can I do? I could drive a car. So I drove Dr. McIntyre and his group and organized meetings. Purpose in the heart means you do whatever you can, for the Lord, when you can, serve Him. The Lord was good. Purpose in your heart. One day, I was provoked by one of the students. I called him a bumptious student. You know what is bumptious? It's not a common word. It means a loudmouth bragger. He was the university sprint champion. And I said to myself, hey, maybe I ought to show him something. That year was the easy year. You know, in medicine, the fourth year is the easy year. No exams. So the Lord laid on my heart, why won't you try running, athletics? So I gave it a try. 6 months of private, quiet running. You know, in those days, I wonder today, do you have a coach in the university for athletics, for anything? Do you have coaches? Today they have gym, they have coach, they have these special running tracks, and all kinds of equipment, starting blocks, and so on and so forth. None of these things in those days, of course, you just try yourself, do it yourself, everything is do it yourself. Well, I tell you, the thing is this. When the athletic meet came, I entered for 7 events. He said, this daredevil, the result is this. I surprised myself. At the winning tape, the champion sprinter looked at me in front of him and said, hey, I never knew you could run. I say, yes, I never knew myself. University is a place where you are tested. tried. And there are many things you can do. Some say, hey, how did you do it? Mind over matter. You think you do it, determined to do it, then you can do it. I say, maybe so. But there is a verse in the Bible says, Philippians 4:13. You know that verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I said, let me give it a try. No harm trying, right? So in that day, on that meet, the Lord gave me a few medals and cups and so on. Now my main purpose today is to give 10 commandments for successful students. How can students do well? Is there a technique of study? I say in the story of Daniel, the key factor is God was with them. The Lord enabled them. The Lord made them to be in favor with the supervisor. And the Lord gave them the wisdom. Do you believe this? This is all over in the Bible. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Read the Proverbs. When I went to Anglo-Chinese school as a boy of 6, very impressionable. Of course, very nervous and very frightened. I came out of a place called Senai in Johor. And my status was what you call swaku. Little boy of 6, I went to the chapel hall, and in the Anglo-Chinese primary school chapel hall on the top, not as big words as these, but written around the chapel hall, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Can any of you testify to this? I don't know ACS whether they still have it. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct that path. Thank you very much. That verse never left me. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Dear friends, 10 commandments for successful students starts with the Lord. Next week, I shall give this to all of you in laminated card, so you can carry it wherever you go. First commandment is purpose in your heart to glorify God. Our primary duty and purpose as a Christian and as a man created by God is to glorify God. Why did God make you and me? Answer, to glorify Him. So I say to all students here, bear this in mind. God saved you for a purpose, made you for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. Whether you study, or whether you are in business, or whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, and whatsoever things ye do, do all to the glory of God. Right? So this first commandment applies to all of us. Dear friends, think. Give this careful thought. Are you doing things that glorify the God? There are some people who tell me, well, I can't help it. In business, you've got to tell white lies. Otherwise, you can't do business. I say, is that right? I know of some good Christian businessmen who don't tell white lies. Or all white lies are black. And they say, I can't help it. I got to smoke with my clients. If I don't smoke, they don't want to make business with me. I say, there are so many people who don't smoke who do very well. So do not find lame excuses. Whatever we do, think, Lord, am I glorifying your name? Will you be proud of me in the day when you see me and say, well done, yes, good and faithful servant? So I say the first rule is purpose in your heart. Whatever you do, my Lord's name will be magnified because of me. That people can see that there is a difference. My language, my vocabulary, my demeanor, the courtesy, humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, the meekness, the forgiveness that is in the person, and the joy of salvation you can show to others, surely. And then how do you testify to your Lord? Are you? Will the Lord say, yes, I think you are glorifying me? So that is the first point. Any student going to any institution, be ready to take a stand and say, I am here as an ambassador for my Lord, and I want to let others know that I am a Christian. So that is the first commandment. By the way, this is a sample of the Ten Commandments for next week. I'll give to you, little ones. Number two. Always pray. God has given us one most powerful weapon and a channel of blessing called prayer. God delights in our prayer. And for students to study, let me tell you what my practice is even today. Not to say the last 50, 60 years. Pray. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if God will help you, you will be a different student. That's for sure. Never discount the God factor. If God helps you, after all, God made your brain. And if God will help that brain to function as it ought to function, you're all right. Yes, acknowledge Him. Pray to Him. So, pray before. Pray during. Lord, this is very difficult. I can't puzzle out this problem. I pray. And when I finish and the Lord has helped me, don't forget to thank Him. Oh, so many, when they are in problem, they pray. When they finish and solve the problem, they forget it. So I say, pray always before, during, and after study. Commandment number three. Be concise and precise. Concise means don't pad your stuff with a lot of useless words. Padding. Don't try padding. Yes, you don't score marks by a lot of words, you know. So be concise. Precise means exact. Yes, say what you mean what you say. And how does that come about? You know, all our textbooks are so thick and so big and so many. In the exam, all you want is what you can write in 2 hours or 3 hours. That's all. They don't ask you to write for 30 hours. So how can you go to the exam and be sure you're going to write the right stuff if you don't practice beforehand? So that is the secret. I say, anything you want to really study, you've got to summarize. Yes. You have to. And that is the secret of learning. Summarize. And what is summarize? Your summary. Summarize and summarize again. Until eventually 150 pages of stuff becomes one page only. This is a secret. Commandment number four. Utilize the pre-dawn hour. I admit there are some people who work best after midnight. They have got the owl blood in them. They work best at night. I don't know how they do it, but I don't advise it. I say, if you want to do well, go and sleep. And wake up at 4 a.m. 5 a.m. Do you know that during exam time, all of us got extra energy, extra brain power, during exam time. We all can do fantastic things. Yes, before exam. I say, you work up yourself to that kind of fever pitch 3 months before exam, not 3 days before exam, 3 months. Then you find you can wake up at 4 a.m. and study with intense concentration 3 months before exam. That's how you do it. Don't wait for 3 days before exam. Pre-dawn is the best. But you've got to train yourself. I have come to concoct a new proverb. Listen to this. More sleep, more sleepy. You believe it? Yes. If your main fondness is for sleep, you sleep 8 hours, get up yawning, you're tired. Then you want to sleep some more. There are some people who sleep 10 hours and the whole day they're yawning, tired and sleepy. But how do you overcome this? Pray that God will give you the mindset to want to study. Your mind must be set and happy to study. If you look at the book and get tired and get angry with the book, you can never study. Pray God that you have the mindset to want to study. And it is so important that when you wake up first thing in the morning, your thoughts are about the right things. If you wake up in the morning, the first thought is so sleepy, it's so tired, and you sleep again. You cannot get up. First thing in the morning, Lord, I praise your name. Sing a song, sing a chorus, read the Bible, say, Lord, wake me up. God will give you that kind of energy. You will not go back to sleep. It's also important. Pre-dawn hour is the best. Most of my important things are done before dawn. Understand this. Last week, I couldn't sleep at 2 a.m. I told my wife, I said, if I can't sleep in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to work. I did. After about 10, 15 minutes, can't sleep. So I worked from 2 to 4. Finished a lot of work. Then I sleep from 4 to 7. Now that is the way. You don't try to sleep and lie in bed for half an hour, 1 hour, counting sheep, they say. I said, don't count sheep. Just go to the shepherd and say, Lord, here's a poor sheep. Have mercy on this poor sheep. Give me sleepiness that I can sleep. I tell you how to sleep. Please understand, there is a secret. When you want to sleep, you must not think of anything. You must only sleep. If you keep on thinking of something that mind is active, you cannot sleep. So what do you do? Pray. Lord, please help me to switch off. Switch off! So, I would say in 1 year, I have insomnia maybe once or twice. Can't sleep. And that insomnia is not more than 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I can't sleep, I get up and work. And next morning, sleep very well again. So, I prescribe this. Pre-dawn hour is the best time to study. Number 5, knowledge shared is knowledge assured. Some people think they know it all already, and they guard their secret. Wow, so precious, I must not tell anybody. Don't let my friend know, and don't let my rival know, otherwise they get smarter than me. I said, that is folly. If you know, gather a group and say, let's exchange ideas. And tell them all that you know. And you find that you thought you know. And when you talk it out, you really don't know. Then you gain much more knowledge by digesting that knowledge, discussing, digesting. Then everything falls into place and you become a much more assured student than trying to say, hey, don't tell a secret, military secrets. Number 6, always study with an objective.
People say, I have good intention. I say, intention doesn't give you knowledge, please. Don't sit there and say, I read so much. You can spend hours and hours without objective and reading through. At the end, you know nothing. Nothing. But you sit down and say, in the next 1 hour, I'm going to finish this chapter. And you target it and study it and you get it. You agree? Yes. Never study aimlessly. Never go and open a book and say, I'm going to spend my whole day reading. Oh, so wonderful, read. At the end of it, you get nothing. I'm talking of exams, you know. So I surprised myself. The first professional exam, of course we all are, 1947, all of them are the top students from all the schools in the Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei, Sarawak, all came together. 75 of us, all the top students. And you study, everybody top student, and you take exam. In that exam, of course we don't know who's who, but the Lord gave me the top position with a scholarship and a medal. That is the first exam. I surprised myself. I don't know what happened. But the final exam, the same thing repeated with 4 medals and the top position. So what I'm saying to you is this. The Lord did it. I didn't know. In fact, in one of the papers, I was quite worried. I went to ask the examiner, hey, I think I must have failed the exam, that one. And it came up with a distinction. So these are the neuroses, all the fears, unknown fears. During exam, we all suffer from neuroses. Fears of failing, fears of giving wrong answers. But the Lord is good. You've got to trust in Him, and He will do the rest for you, but trust in Him. Study with an objective. Right. I do not know whether in your days they have got 10-year series of questions and so on. Do they still sell them? In my days, buy all the 10-year series. Then spend 2 hours studying questions. You do that. And you find this. Examiners do not have inexhaustible questions. They do not have. In fact, their knowledge is also very limited. And when they set exam questions, and I've done it for many years now as an examiner, you have to scratch your head to find out what questions to ask. So they go round in circles, always asking the same old questions. That's a secret. You must know it. Then you analyze all the questions, and I've put a tick for every question that is asked every time. Then you know which are the very popular questions they must ask. Then you prepare your model answers. Know something of everything, and everything of some things. Now this is the secret formula, another proverb that I have made. Something of everything, I gave myself a number of likely questions to be asked, about 20 to 30. And to answer each of these questions takes you about 2 hours. Worth it? Very worth it. Then you sit down and write model answers to all these questions. For the rest, if you have a summary, as I said, summarize your summaries, you would have a good grasp of all the rest. Now let the examiner ask you any of these questions. If you get the spots, you get full marks. Yes, he cannot run away from your spotting. And your spotting will hit them on the target very, very well. However, don't play this trick too often. Can be caught. So know something of everything and everything of some things. Redeem your time.
Make every minute count. Redeeming the time, I can actually give you one whole sermon on how to redeem time. How to get more time out of your 24 hours. You have 24. I got 24. How is it some people can do more work in the 24 than other people? Alright? Redeem time. Most important is the mindset. I will not waste time. I will not kill time. If I sit in the bus, I don't sit there because I have to sit in the bus and I sit. I never go out without something in my pocket that I can read. Right? Do you do that? If I have to wait at the bus stop, I have something to read. If you want to memorize Bible verses, that is the best. Have little cards. I carry little cards in my wallet. By the way, I also have a very small wallet. I said, never carry heavy wallets. You waste energy. And never load your wallets with a lot of money. Mine is a very thin, small one and with very little money. So that's the secret. Always carry something you can read wherever you go. In that way, you redeem time. You know why I wear a safari suit to work for 36 years? Those who wear necktie and suit and so on, they take at least 10 minutes more than my safari. Every day I redeem 10 minutes. Count that for 36 years, a lot of time. Redeem time in so many ways. Time is precious. 1 inch of time is 1 inch of gold. So redeem your time. For students, this is very important. Number 9, exercise to keep fit. It's so sad, some people never go out, never breathe fresh air, never breathe oxygen. They just sit there. Non-stop studying. I said, no. Mens sana in corpore sano says, sound mind in sound body. You have a sleepy body, tired body, you can never do good work. If your mind, your brain hasn't got enough oxygen, you can't think properly. So I say at least 20 to 30 minutes a day. Go out and run around and breathe oxygen. After all, that's free, you know. And finally, this one is a biggest question mark. Keep God's day holy. I won't say I never study on the Lord's day. I can't say that. But I say as much as possible I don't study. But that doesn't mean that I go to sleep, you know. I serve the Lord. Do good things. Go out and have a good stroll and exercise yourself. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't keep all my revision and the hard study on the Lord's day. On the Lord's day, do the Lord's work. There are so many other things, dear friends, but I come back to the very first point. Purpose in the heart is the secret to all that we do. May we remember the story of Daniel. Because Daniel was faithful in small things. He was faithful that he will not pollute himself with the king's food and with the customs of drinking wine. God bless him that he was able to go to the lion's den and face the lions. Not because he faced the lions, but God sent the angel. So, can God help you? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Father in heaven, grant that we all will purpose in our hearts that the Lord Jesus will come first in our lives and we will give Him the best. For we know when we do so, He gives us His best. Bless all our people here. Grant us that we will give You our best every day. Serve Thee in all that we do. Magnify the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.